Read also text number 14, and then we'll go through the translation. There, it's just a continuation of the qualities being mentioned here.
Santushta satatam yogi yatatma dridanishaya mayar pitmano buddhir yomad bhakta same priyaha.
Translation: one who is not envious but is kind is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. The purport is a little long, so with your permission, I'm going to start speaking with references from the purport in between.
Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langhayate giring yat kripataham vande shri gurundinataranam param.
So the 12th chapter is oftentimes memorized by people who have faith in the Bhagavad Gita and they want to recite certain verses, maybe for reasons of piety or because they like doing it. Generally in India, if someone is reciting verses from the Bhagavad Gita, it will either be from the 12th or the 15th chapter. Anyone here who knows 12th chapter by heart, 15th chapter by heart? Yes, there will be a few. Anyone who has learned them in their childhood? No? But there are some. Hopefully there are still some. Otherwise, I am proven wrong here. What is it about the 12th and the 15th chapter that makes people memorize them? I was very much intrigued by why, wanting to know what is the reason why people memorize these verses. Do you know why people generally memorize 12th chapter? The general reason is because it is the one chapter in the Bhagavad Gita which is, sorry? Yeah, it has only 20 verses. All the other chapters have more than 20 verses. So if it feels nice when you tell someone, I know one adhyaya of Bhagavad Gita. Out of 18, I know one adhyaya. Which one do you know? 12th. The 15th one also has around 28 verses, I guess, something like that. These two are the smallest of verses. I rarely meet someone who knows the first chapter of the Gita. 46 verses. The last chapter, oh no. It has more than 70 verses. I'm really not remembering how much it has, but something like that. So, it feels nice. I know one verse, one chapter from the Bhagavad Gita. And one can recite it. At the same time, it does not take much time. Plus, most of the verses in the 12th chapter are very easy to learn. Sanskrit verses sometimes are difficult, especially poetry, kavya. Once you know how it rhymes, it is easy to remember. But learning is a little difficult. But the 12th chapter generally ends, the last line will be generally, Yo mad bhakta same priya. So for 8 verses at least you are sure, I know at least the last line. We just have to memorize three lines in above that. So it makes it very easy for people to memorize. However, there is another reason which makes the 12th chapter very attractive. This is the chapter where Krishna is explaining very clearly who is dear to him. Now there are various other chapters also where Krishna explains, Arjun, you are dear to me because you have these very qualities. Or a devotee who is rendering devotional service with sincerity or is helping others to remember my name is most dear to me. So we find occasional verses. But the 12th chapter has 8 verses, one after the other. Right from verse number 13 to verse number 20. Each one ending with Krishna saying, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. It's as if, you know, if Krishna were like a phonetic record or a tape record, you know, a tape. It's as if, you know, sometimes the loop is caught. The same thing is being repeated again and again and again. So it appears as if Krishna's loop has been caught there. He just cannot move on ahead. He wants to again and again speak about the qualities of his devotees. Because the qualities that devotees possess, the devotees of the Supreme Lord possess, are so attractive that even the Supreme Lord feels satisfied just mentioning those qualities, remembering those qualities. Now, if in the natural world, if we ask someone to glorify another person, well, you know, such a person is a great gentleman, he's a philanthropic worker, and he has performed so many tasks, so we are very happy that he is here with us. Finished. This particular verse, at least there are 9 or 10 qualities itself. Every verse has at least 5 to 6 qualities that Krishna is describing. We can do the math, the multiplication. 48 qualities, 50 qualities. And none of them is repetitive. Every one of them is unique. If we know these verses of the Bhagavad Gita, it becomes very easy to glorify someone. Even if you do not have the habit of glorifying someone, it is very easy to find out someone's faults. And if we have problem trying to find some good in others, all we need to do is remember these verses from the Gita and see if such qualities to some extent are present in someone or not. We have at least 50 qualities to go through. And thus, we can train our consciousness, we can train our mind to glorify someone. So the 11th chapter, Krishna has described his wonderful universal form. By Arjuna's desire, he has shown that he is the source of that form. Because Krishna has shown the universal form, he has shown the four-handed form, and he also is present in his two-handed form. So Krishna has shown himself as the source of all incarnations. He's shown himself as the origin of everything that is when he's shown the Virat form. He's shown that he is capable enough, potent enough to manifest whenever he wants any of these forms. Right? Like the example of that personality who was asked, can you show the universal form? So he said, I can, but you will not be able to see. Krishna does not say something like that. It is not that he is incapable right now. Oh yeah, today I am a little tired, you know. Show time is over. So Arjuna, tomorrow at the same time I will show you my universal form. No. Whenever that is called being potent, being powerful, Krishna can do that. But then he still appears to be an ordinary living entity. Appears. Why? Because man is always in the image of God. It is why Krishna's wonderful compassion and mercy that we are participating or we are performing activities which is very similar to what he does. He likes to play. He likes to interact with his parents. He likes to have games with his friends. He likes to jump off tree branches into the river Jamuna. So it is easy for conditioned souls to feel at home with Krishna. Feel very comfortable with Krishna. Yes, this person I can relate to. Just try to relate to the Virat Roop, you know. Huge form. As one of the aspects of the universal form is that all his veins are rivers in the universe. Not just the rivers here on the planet Earth. But all the rivers of the universe are his veins. Can you imagine something? Just visualize the Ganga, the Jamuna, the Saraswati, the Sindhu. All these rivers within the veins as the veins of the Lord. It's terrifying. Especially huge rivers like that. What to speak of the Mississippi and the Amazon. All of them are there. All these rivers. The Volga. These are huge rivers on planet Earth. These are just on planet Earth. All the rivers of the universes are there. How do you worship someone who has all the rivers like that? How do you have a relationship with him? You go to have a relationship with him, you find all these huge waves, and then there are the oceans within him. And you are trying to approach him, and suddenly there is an ocean wave coming at you, and you, oh my God. Should we worship him, or should we try to protect ourselves? How do you do that? Now, if someone is sweating, you try to, you know, if one is sweating, one has perspiration, and you try to put on your clothes. Is it easy to put on clothes? You try to put on a shirt, try to put on a shawl. Is it easy to do that? Generally, what does one do? One dries up one's body and then tries to put on clothes, right? One takes a bath. Now, just imagine the Virat Roop is there with all these rivers flowing. How do you dress him? Just forget about the form. The huge form is there. How do you offer any dresses to him? So Krishna is very easy to relate to. Even the Chaturbhuj form. Try to imagine, you know, you're trying to put on a shirt with four hands. Try to dress him. Or even put on a Uttariya with four hands. And there is one discus there, which is revolving. Although the form is very beautiful. But still, in a conditioned state, it becomes difficult to imagine someone with a club standing there. You know, if someone who is a servant is trying to dress you up and he makes a mistake, you go, patak, on his head. What if Krishna just, you know, we make a mistake and the club just hits us. Boom. You know, anya loko ki sukham yatra. Just because of that one club hit. We'll be traveling to so many universes, free ride. So Krishna is so merciful. Gopinath is so merciful. Yes? So Krishna's form appears to be ordinary, but actually it is his transcendental form. Somehow, he is manifesting his transcendental form in front of our eyes. That is his mercy. Shishi Radha Gopinath Lalita Vishakha Devi ki jai. Shishi Nitai Gaur Chandra ki jai. Gopalnath ji ki jai. So Arjuna, because he is a devotee, he has already established through Krishna's mouth for all times to come. Krishna, you are God. Everyone accepts you are God. Everyone is going to read the Bhagavad Gita and accept it as the word of God. So now you establish as to which is topmost. Krishna does. He says, one who has completely engrossed his mind and consciousness in worshipping me, remembering me in my personal form, and worships me with faith and devotion, constantly, nitya, that devotee of mine is the topmost yogi. But because Krishna has been asked by Arjuna also about the worshippers of the impersonal form, he's such an he's a personality with so much impartiality within him that after this, from verse number 3 onwards till almost 12, he again describes something related to the impersonal aspect. How worshipping the impersonal aspect is also a way to approach him or to understand the absolute truth. But it is filled with lot of glaciers, lot of difficulty, lot of problems. To make it understandable to us, let's suppose that there's someone who wants to get a graduate degree. Then there is one way where one qualifies oneself through some authorized, to be admitted in some authorized universities or authorized colleges, authorized by the university. And there are some private institutes which also attract one saying, we will give you an equivalent degree, but they are not recognized. After 4 years of doing a graduate studies, both are going to be graduates. But the course after that for one of them is going to be easy and for the other is going to be a little difficult. Because wherever they go with their degree from a private institute, they'll say this is impersonal. It is difficult to recognize your degree. It is difficult to give you a job based on this degree. So that is a problem that impersonalists face. They spend years and years and years to understand the absolute truth. And they do it by negating everything in this universe that is material. And that just leaves them with something that is spiritual. Right? But they do not know exactly the nature of the spiritual moiety, the spiritual personality, the spiritual substance. They do not know much about it. Except that it is not material. That is all they know. Then it becomes very difficult for them to have interactions with the impersonal aspect. Therefore, gatihi dukkham, Krishna says. He says, the pathway itself is going to be difficult. The practice itself is going to be difficult. And the result is also going to be a difficult place to exist in. Because how do you interact? The living entity is meant to interact, have reciprocation. How do you reciprocate with that which you have not much knowledge of? So then Krishna has established that in the previous verses. And then look at his, how Krishna is all compassionate. Arjuna has just asked, Arjuna wants to clarify. Now, 12th chapter, Arjuna has taken on advanced courses up till now. The first and second chapter was a beginner's classes. But by 12th chapter, advanced courses have been done. The devotional service has been established. And now Arjuna has, for all times to come, wanted a ultimate conclusion. Which is the topmost? Finished. But for 5 verses before this, from 8 to 12, Krishna does not want anyone to feel uncomfortable while approaching him. So then he says, if you cannot do unalloyed devotional service, then practice something that is one step lower. If you cannot do that, practice something which is something lower. Now generally, whenever a thesis is done, you do not expect the conclusion to be like this. Generally, when a presentation is done, the conclusion is, this is it. We have established now, devotional service is the topmost. If one does not do devotional service, one is not the topmost yogi. Millions of conditioned souls are going to take shelter of the Gita. And if the Bhagavad Gita would have, which is the conclusion of the Gita, definitely, if that is what where it would have stayed, most of the living entities would have felt helpless. This is called absolute truth. Absolute truth does not mean the supreme most. It means supreme most, more supreme most, and within that also there will be gradations. No one wherever they may be on their spiritual ladder, no one is disqualified or no one is made to feel depressed when one approaches Krishna. Any other path other than the path of devotional service unto Krishna, there is a lot of scope for being depressed. Oh, you cannot meditate. Finished. 50% of your life is a waste. Something like that. 75% of your life is a waste. Now imagine if we hear something like that. But Krishna is so merciful. He says, if you cannot do, if you are not 100%, don't worry. 90%. If you are 90%, don't worry. 80%. If you are not 80%, don't worry. At least do some pious work, which is like 30%. Or maybe even less. And even if you are not able to do that, try to cultivate some knowledge. If you are not able to do that, at least for 5 minutes, meditate on any aspect within this material world. At least learn to meditate. Don't spend your time wasting after wasteful sense gratification in this material world. Use some moments that are there. The opportunity is there every moment. Utilize it to practice something which will lead us towards perfection. So although Krishna should just have concluded with, yes, Arjuna, this is the topmost, and Arjuna would be happy. Maybe not Arjuna, at least we would have been happy. Oh yes, we are practicing the topmost. But that is not Krishna's nature. Krishna is not a personality who exclusively wants only few people. He's all inclusive. He's open-minded. That is a Brahmana. He's a topmost Brahmana. The most broad-minded personality in this universe. 100% open-minded. That makes him all attractive. Anyone can be attracted to Krishna. But then because Arjuna has asked Krishna something which is very dear to his heart. And why is that very dear to Krishna's heart? Because Krishna explains this secret in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Vishnu explains to Durvasmani in the 9th canto. Sadhavo Hridayam Mahiyam, Sadhunam Hridayam Tvaham. I stay in the heart of the devotee and the devotee is always within my heart. So Krishna stays within the heart of the devotee. Now if you are staying within the heart of the devotee, what is there within the heart of the devotee? All these wonderful qualities. Now if someone is exposed 24 hours to all of these qualities, which are attractive, what do you think he is going to speak of? What do you think is within his heart then? Right? He is always surrounded by these wonderful qualities within the heart of his devotee. Madanya tena janati naham tebhyo managapi. My devotee does not know anyone but me, and therefore I do not know anyone without other than my devotee. Now staying in India, we know much about India, isn't it? Hopefully. Staying on planet Earth, we know much about planet Earth, isn't it? Compared to the other planets. Right? How many continents are there on the planet Mars? Are we aware? A controversy is going on right now whether in the solar system there are 10 planets or 9. What do we know of other planets? Not much. We know something about planet Earth. Within planet Earth, how much do we know about the other continents? I mean, in India, we know there is a tropical climate. Do we know what other climates are present in the other continents? Not much. Now, within India, we know much about the state of Maharashtra and other states, don't we? Now, within the state of Maharashtra, those of us who stay in Bombay know much about Bombay than other regions, isn't it? Now, how much do we know about Bid? But Bombay we know. Now, within Bombay, for me who am staying in Chowpatty here, Girgaon Chowpatty, I know much about Girgaon Chowpatty than maybe Bhuleshwar. Or even Crawford Market. I don't know much. In fact, for many years when I was coming to this temple, I wasn't even aware. I knew there was a beach close by in the sea. But all we knew was the road from Grand Road Station to Temple Radha Gopinath. That is all. We did not even know the other roads that were existing. for a long time. August Kanti Maidan, I did not know for a long time. So where we stay in, most of our interests there are attractive, and that is what we constantly are aware of and we think of. Krishna is staying within the heart of his devotee. What do you think he's constantly aware of? 50 qualities at least. Minimum. That is why he's describing all of these qualities. And very interestingly, the quality which is most attractive is what one immediately speaks of. If you ask someone, can you describe your friend? And they'll say, yes, my friend is very generous. Or someone else will say, yes, my friend is very handsome or beautiful. Someone else will say, my friend is very magnanimous. Someone else will say, my friend is something else. And then they will describe the other qualities. So of all of these 50 odd qualities that Krishna is describing about his devotee, how does this begin? Which quality is most attractive to him? Adveshta. My devotee is not envious and thus is a friend to all living entities. He could have easily said, my devotee is a friend to all the living entities and he is non-envious. It doesn't work that way. The natural quality of all of us in this material world is to be envious. We have to practice to become a friend to all of the living entities. It is very easy for a young child to scratch someone. Or, you see, even when a child is born, even as any species of life, even in the animal species, it is natural for them to kick. But the quality where they want to embrace someone comes afterwards. Only out of a sense of fear would they embrace their mother or seek the security of the mother. But it is very easy for them to thrash their hands, beat up someone. How is that? It is very easy for the child to take from the mother. But to give takes time. It requires training. Loving someone means to give. Being envious means to take. So envy is natural. How is that? Icchha dvesha samuthena dvandva mohena bharata. Krishna explains so clearly in the Gita. It is only because of our separatist rebels. We are rebels here. Nowadays there is so much political upheaval going on because of rebels in different parts of the country, different parts of the world. They call them Naxalites. So we are Naxalites actually. Separatists. But Krishna does not send in the forces to trounce us. He sends his compassionate devotees and comes himself to attract us back. So Adveshta. And Srila Prabhupada, he explains so nicely what is the meaning of Adveshta. He says a pure devotee is never disturbed in any circumstances, nor is he envious of anyone. Right now, all of us are feeling some disturbance. I am feeling disturbance because I am trying to remember what to speak next. It's not easy. It is not very natural. There has to be a flow of thought process. You are getting disturbed trying to understand what is this flow. What is the point that is being referred to? Plus, the fan may be slow, the fan may be fast, the ground may be hard, you know, and what to speak of microorganism, it causes itches. Disturbance is there. So Srila Prabhupada explains the quality of Adveshta as saying, a pure devotee is never disturbed in any circumstances. And he'll explain how. And then he says, nor is he envious of anyone. Therefore he does not feel envy. Does not feel envy of the organism causing ish to him. Does not feel envy of the ground that is hard. Does not feel envy of someone who's better off than them. A devotee becomes his does not become his enemy's enemy. He thinks, this person is acting as my enemy due to my own past misdeeds. So it is better to suffer than to protest. Now when Prabhupada says it is better to suffer, it does not mean he wants us to go and seek suffering. You know, please give me more suffering. Beat me, beat me. When he says it is better to suffer, it means it is better to tolerate suffering. Suffering is going to come. Right? Sometimes we get confused. What does it mean to turn the other cheek? It means to tolerate what is happening on the first cheek. Turning the other cheek does not mean I'm paining here, so hit me here. Now it will be balanced pain. That is not how it works. It means, turning the other cheek means I have to tolerate. I like this cheek which is not being hurt, but I am pained by this cheek which has been hurt. So turning the other cheek means remembering that this is what we like. Now what we like makes us feel happy, isn't it? What we don't like makes us feel unhappy. So we have to learn to tolerate that which is making us unhappy. That is called turning the other cheek. So a devotee feels, how does he turn the other, how does he learn to tolerate? Because whatever comes to him, whether happiness or distress, specifically in this case distress, because we are discussing the quality of Advaishta. Well, happiness is a distress, whatever is coming to him, he understands this is just because of my past deeds. Good deeds or misdeeds. But because pain always troubles us, it is more important to remember during pain that this is just a reaction to our past misdeeds. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in one purport, Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains that one must not become angry with the instrument of our own karma. Like if you are walking, you know, you walk out of this door and suddenly we are not aware of where we are walking. We are absent-minded, let's say. Bam, we hit the door, you know, frame. Now if you get angry and try to hit it back, or you shout at the door frame, does it make any difference? Or you just hold on to it and say, oh Krishna, this is just, you know, my past reaction coming to me. It saves you from further pain, isn't it? Because otherwise, how, there has to be a reaction, there has to be an outburst. Similarly, when if it is instead of a door frame, if it is a person who has insulted us, we should remember this is just like a door frame. We have hit against it. It is just an instrument for our karma. This personality is just an instrument for my karma. That is what Sri Prabhupada is encouraging us to understand. That is what Krishna means by Advaishta. Baldev Vidyabhushan, when he comments on this verse, one of our acharyas, when he's commenting on this verse, he says, Advaishta means thinking as your enemy is thinking. Thinking his thoughts. Trying to understand what is going on in the mind of the enemy. When you understand that how he has been pained by our actions, it is simply the reaction of the pain that we have given to him. We understand that. That's it. So getting in the shoes of one's enemy, and understanding that this is just a mature fruit of our past misdeeds, the prarabdha that is coming to us. And then Srila Prabhupada gives another way to handle this. He gives us another instrument how to handle these emotions. He says, one is to tolerate, understanding this is a past misdeeds coming. But then, just imagine in a day if we get hit 10 times with the door frame. You know, that is a day of really... The karma is really coming to us. Wholesale. I mean, once, twice, thrice, four times, after some time you say, Krishna, how long? How much? You know, after the eighth time you're like, maybe this is not my karma coming. The doorway has to be shifted. Let us remove this door frame. Isn't it? So how do we understand? Is there some other instrument that we can use? And then Srila Prabhupada is quoting this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto. Tattenu kampam su samikshamano bhunjane vatma kritam vipakam. We should understand that even this reaction is just a token that is coming. Actually, we should have been hit by a truck. And a big lorry. Madhav Chandra Prabhu is laughing. Just imagine, you know, you are on one of the what do you call that? The highways in America? Sorry? Freeways, yeah? Freeways. I don't know how it is free. It makes you get free from your body very quickly compared to in India. They're going at 100 miles, 120, 140, 200 miles an hour. A miles means add multiplied by 1.6 kilometers. 160 kilometers an hour. And you are hit by it. Now, would you get time to think this is, you know, my karma coming to me? So that is what is actually to be received. That is the reaction that we should be getting. But Krishna, by his mercy, because we are in his temple and we have somehow or the other surrendered, we have somehow or the other appreciated something related to Krishna, all we get is a token. Boom! A small boom on the door frame. So every time, even if it is 10 times, if you remember that actually it was a truck that was supposed to hit us, it would be easier to accept and not get angry with the instrument of one's karma. It would be easy to go through life understanding, first of all, that this is just a reaction to our karma that is coming. It works the other way also. If something good is there, we should understand. This is just, you know, someone comes and gives us something very good. We should understand this is just our karma coming and not be too much inflated. Ego should not get inflated. And if it is coming 10 times a day, we should not start thinking, actually, I'm a pure devotee now, you know. It has come 10 times in a day. I mean, who here is getting so much good reaction? We should understand that actually we are supposed to get only once. But Krishna is mercifully giving us 10 times. We are just supposed to receive lots. In terms of bad reaction, Krishna is giving us small. In terms of big, Krishna just wants to encourage us. Oh, you offered me Dandavat once, let me give you Mahaprasad 10 times today. You know, you walk out of the door, somebody says, Prabhu, please take some Mahaprasad. You're like, oh Krishna, thank you, he reciprocated so immediately. You walk down the stairs, someone else says, have you got Mahaprasad, take some more. And before you can say, no, I have already, he puts it in your hand. You walk down the stairs at the bottom, someone comes with another plate of Mahaprasad, take it. By the time you're outside, out of this gate, you have 10 packets of Mahaprasad. Now it's easy to imagine this. I mean, today I am special, isn't it? But now, Krishna is encouraging us. We are just supposed to get one grain of Mahaprasad. But Krishna has given us 10 packets. So we have to tolerate. A person who is non-envious can tolerate. So most of these qualities we won't be able to cover. But let us read it again. And I would like to, in short, describe the life of one particular devotee who embodies all of these qualities that we are reading today. So very beautifully. And that makes it more real, isn't it? When we hear of someone who actually is embodying all of that. Otherwise, it becomes just lip service. Right? Yeah, it's all right for Krishna. I mean, you are God. You can describe these qualities. You don't know what we have to go through to understand and embody all of these qualities. It is so difficult. It's not. Because these are the qualities that Krishna has experienced within the heart of his devotee. Sadhavo Hridayam. I stay within the heart of the devotee and there I have experienced these qualities within the devotee's, my devotee's heart, who is very dear to me. So let us once again just read these qualities and then we'll speak of this, of the life and character of one particular devotee who embodies this. Non-envious and a kind friend to all living entities. Does not think of himself as a proprietor and is free from false ego. Equal in both happiness and distress. Tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled and engaged in devotional service with determination and his mind and intelligence fixed on me. And it's, these qualities are so nice. It would be nice if we could discuss on all of this. What we could do is, sometime let us find time and discuss with each other some of these qualities in detail. Sometimes we feel, I have the determination, but my mind and intelligence is, you know, running so far away in different directions. Bahushakha. What to do? Krishna says, my devotee has that quality. It is possible. His mind and intelligence is fixed in me. And this devotee is very dear to me. By engaging in devotional service. Right? So in the 500 years back, when Lord Chaitanya was, who is Krishna himself, he was performing his pastimes, there was one devotee who was very dear to him. One of his very close associates, who had been given the title of the king of those who glorify the holy names, the Namacharya, Haridas Thakur. And Srila Kaviraj Goswami, who is the author of Chaitanya Charitamrit, he has written about the life and characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his teachings too, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he has explained the qualities of his devotees when they are reciprocating with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the interaction Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had with his devotees are explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And many a times, Kaviraj Goswami is explaining the qualities of the devotees which has been observed and observed by other devotees, and they have been enumerated by them. I have what he has heard from other devotees, what he has personally observed, he is explaining that. And there are those few rare instances where he quotes verbatim how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has glorified his devotee. Directly the Lord is glorifying his devotee. And Kaviraj Goswami is mentioning those in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. These are not his words, not Kaviraj Goswami's words. These are not the words that some other devotee has heard from someone else and then Kaviraj Goswami is noting down. These are the words of glorification of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. And there are more than one instance where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is glorifying Haridas Thakur. Especially in the later chapters of Chaitanya Charitamrita called the Antya Leela, there is one whole chapter entitled The Passing Away of Thakur Haridas, within which the qualities of Haridas Thakur they shine like precious jewels, beautiful jewels, they shine forth. Haridas Thakur was staying in Jagannath Puri in Orissa, close to the temple of Jagannath. He was born in a Muslim family. Now, culturally and socially, because the lifestyles which are practiced by such communities are not very favorable for entering the temple of the Lord. There are certain rules that are required, rules of purity that are necessary to enter the temple of the Lord. Traditional temples. So generally, because such communities do not practice such rules, their habits are not very pure. Therefore, in traditional temples, they are not allowed entry. That's a general rule. However, now it has just become a custom, because if a person has taken up to the path of purification and is following pure lifestyle, then they should be allowed into the temples of the Lord. And that is, someone may be born in a family that is pure but does not practice pure habits, that person is disqualified or is less qualified than someone who may not be born in a good family but is practicing pure lifestyle, Krishna conscious lifestyle. Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavacharyas know that. And they always propagate this, that anyone who's practicing Krishna consciousness, Kirata Hun, Andhra Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abhira, Shumbha, Yavana, Khasa, Adi, anyone from any community, if they simply have surrendered and have bowed down to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan, then they are qualified to worship Lord Narayan. What to speak of coming into the temple of the Lord? So Thakur Haridas was pure right from his birth. It is explained that he was always attracted to the Lord's holy names. He left his home at a very early age. Very early age, as a young boy, he left his home and was just wandering among sadhus and staying with them and chanting the holy names. However, within his heart, he always considered himself to be low-born. Very low. Neech jati, neech kul, neech karya. That is how he considered himself to be. Always neech, most fallen. And hence, of his own sweet will, of his own desire, he would never enter the temple of Lord Jagannath. He said, how can I, this body, because of its past karma, has been born in a family of meat eaters. How can I take this body in front of Lord Jagannath? He never considered his body to have been purified. He always considered to be low born because it has connection with the family of meat eaters. So he used to stay close to the place of Lord Jagannath's temple in a beautiful small grove of bakula trees, and in the shade of one particular bakula tree he would practice his sadhana. Previously this bakula tree was not there, but one day when Lord Chaitanya came and he saw that he was sitting in this beautiful garden, but there was no proper shade for him, so he planted, using Lord Jagannath's own toothbrush. Lord Jagannath uses, sometimes they give him toothbrush made of bakula trees. So he planted that in the ground and then it flowered into a beautiful bakula tree. And under that, Haridas Thakur would practice his chanting. 3 lakh names every day. The tree became so much surcharged by Haridas Thakur's emotions that the tree became Siddha. This tree had all the Siddhis, the 8 Siddhis. And one of them was a long life. So it became famous as Siddha Bakula tree. Haridas Thakur lived for a long, long time, many years. Eventually became old. And one day, when Lord Chaitanya's servant Govinda came to visit him, he found Thakur Haridas in a very weakened state physically. So weak that he could not sit up and he was lying on his back. Ever experienced that? Sometimes when we are tired and we cannot chant, then we lie down and we are holding our bead back and we are chanting and then we fall asleep. Tiredness. So here is Haridas Thakur, who has become tired of a lifetime of holding up his frail body, which no longer can support his, although he is energetic within, but the body, the framework of the body has become so jaded, has faded so much, it can no longer support him in a sitting state. So he has to lie down. But he does not fall asleep. He's chanting his rounds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Govinda approaches him and says, he finds him in this state and he says, oh Haridas Thakur, please wake up. Not wake up, he says, please get up. He sees he's awake. He says, please get up. I have got the Lord's Mahaprasad for you. Haridas Thakur feels very much ashamed of himself. He says, I am such a sinful rascal. I have not finished my regular quota of rounds today. How is it possible for me to eat? Now please, it is not that we have to compare ourselves with Haridas Thakur. I especially try not to do that. It's so difficult. Because I have so many times taken prasad without completing my rounds. Thakur Haridas is his Namacharya. He wants us to be attracted to the holy name such that nothing else distracts us. Even if the Lord's Prasad comes, let's see what happens now. Here is Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath coming. So he says, I have not finished my regular quota of rounds. And his quota is 3 lakh names. I have not finished my regular quota of rounds. How can I take Prasad? But you have got Mahaprasad. If I don't honor Mahaprasad, then I am dishonoring the Lord. I am being disrespectful to the Lord and disrespectful to the Lord's Prasad. This is Mahaprasad, not different from Krishna, not different from Jagannath. I will be disrespectful towards Prasad. This is good, nice philosophy. Isn't it? Helpful for us at least. So yes, so when Mahaprasad comes in, we should honor it. Let us see how Haridas Thakur in his state of consciousness, his advanced state of consciousness, what does he mean by honoring Mahaprasad? So Govinda has got the whole plate of Mahaprasad for Haridas Thakur. He first of all feels that I am not qualified to take Mahaprasad, eat Prasad, because I have not finished my rounds. I am a sadhaka. I have to finish my sadhana before I can even honor Mahaprasad or enjoy it, enjoy Krishna's association by honoring Mahaprasad. I'm not. Before that, I have to finish my sadhana. But then Mahaprasad is here, and if I do not immediately honor it, it is disrespectful. So he takes a small grain of Mahaprasad, puts it in his mouth and honors it and says, Mahaprasad has been honored. He does not eat the whole plate. Mahaprasad has to be honored. Now let me chant my rounds. So that is why he is glorious. He honors a little and then again he goes back to Hare Krishna, trying to chant his rounds. Govinda sees him, but he is such an exalted personality. Just see the wonderful dealings that they have. He simply keeps quiet, goes back and reports to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya does not even directly report to him. Lord Gauranga asks him, what is the news of Thakur Haridas? And he explains to him what's happening. So in the afternoon, Lord Chaitanya goes. Just before he takes his noon bath, the next day, Lord Chaitanya goes to meet Haridas Thakur. And he sees Haridas Thakur still lying on his back trying to chant his rounds. And he says, oh Haridas, what is the news? Isn't that how devotees generally meet each other? So what is the news? How is the stock market going on? What are business prospects? That could be the general understanding of what is the news. When Haridas Thakur hears that Lord Chaitanya is asking me, oh Haridas, what is the news? He says, my dear Lord, whatever is your mercy, that is news. So the only news worthy of being reported anywhere is the Lord's mercy. That is news. What is your problem? Have you ascertained what is the cause of your distress, what your disease is? He says, my dear Lord, my body is all right, but my mind and intelligence have become weak, and therefore I am not able to complete my rounds. Now, I will not go into much explanation because we have to complete this. So Lord Chaitanya says, oh Haridas, you have become so old. It is not necessary for you to complete your quota of rounds now. First time ever in history, I have, at least in my experience, there is a superior authority telling someone. Prabhupada once told some of his devotees that it's all right if you are engaged in 24-hour service, no problem. Occasionally, there have been these occasional instances. But this is the Supreme Lord himself telling his devotee, it is not necessary for you to complete your quota of rounds. You have become old. Actually, you are liberated already. Therefore, even if you don't complete your rounds, it's all right. Because when a person is liberated, the holy names is a constant associate. There's no need for the holy names to be chanted that we want to be liberated or to be free from the three modes. There is no longer any danger from the three modes. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is saying, you are already liberated. Therefore, you may decrease your number of rounds. You have incarnated in this world to deliver people in general. By glorifying the holy names through your own practice, you have already done that and you have established that principle. Therefore, no, it is all right even if you don't complete your rounds. Haridas Thakur, when he hears this, he's shocked. It is as if the Lord has thrown him away from his association. That is how he feels. My Lord has rejected me. He says, my dear Lord, please don't put me in illusion. I was born in a family of meat eaters. I am low born. My body is of the lowest variety. And my work that I perform, my kriya, my activities are unmentionable. I am untouchable and unseeable. I am the lowest of mankind. But you have somehow or the other, by your mercy, accepted me as your servant. You have therefore saved me from a hellish condition and raised me to the platform of Vaikuntha. You are the independent supreme personality of Godhead. You can do whatever you like. You can pick up a low-born person and place him on the platform of Vaikuntha. You can make the whole world act and dance as you like. Just look at me. My dear Lord, my whole life you had made me dance according to your desire. You made me be the recipient of the Shraddha Patra to receive the remnants during the Shraddha ceremony, which is supposed to be accepted by the topmost of the Brahmanas. One who's Brahman Shiromani, such a person is supposed to be given the Shraddha Patra, the first plate of the Shraddha remnants. The remnants that are offered to Lord Vishnu during the Shraddha ceremony. Because first the Lord is served and then his topmost devotee is to be given that. And I, who am the lowest of all mankind, I ate from that Shraddha Patra. That is just because it was your desire. But my dear Lord, it is not because of my qualifications. I have a long cherished desire within my heart. Now, Haridas Thakur has become very old by this time, physically. Lord Chaitanya is also almost, is beyond, maybe in his 30s now, late 30s, early 40s almost. So Haridas Thakur has a feeling. Obviously he's in his 40s now, Lord Chaitanya. So he says, my dear Lord, I have a feeling that very soon you are going to disappear from this world and close your pastimes on this earth. I do not want to be a witness to those particular pastimes. I do not want to see you disappearing from this world. Therefore, although I am unqualified, I am putting forth this request unto you. Now, Haridas Thakur, please understand. He says, my dear Lord, only by your mercy did you make me dance in so many ways. Therefore, that is giving me some confidence and strength to put forward this request unto you. Because you are the independent Supreme Lord, you can. Although I will not be qualified to have this request fulfilled. But because you are independent and you can do whatever you like, therefore I am requesting you. Please let me not see your final pastimes. Let this low-born body die in front of you right now. Fall down in front of you rather than witness those activities. Lord Chaitanya, when he heard this, he said, Krishna is a supreme personality of Godhead. Therefore, he can easily execute your desire. Because you are Krishna's devotee, definitely he'll execute your desire. However, Haridas, whatever happiness I feel in this world is because of your association. Why do you want me to be bereft of that happiness and go away, leaving me alone behind? When Haridas Thakur heard this, he became desperate. And with tears of desperation in his eyes, he said, he held the feet of the Lord and he said, my dear Lord, please don't put me into more illusion. By your illusion, by your desire, I am already thinking that I am a great devotee because I received so much mercy. don't put me into more association, more illusion by making me think that the Lord is not happy without me. I am actually a low-born person. If it is your desire, by your mercy, my dear Lord, if it is possible, please fulfill this desire. Let this body of mine fall down in front of you before you enact your final pastimes. Lord Chaitanya, after that, said, all right, I have to go for my noon duties, and he left. The next day, they had decided they would meet again. This day, he came with all of his devotees. And again, he asked, Haridas, what is the news? Whatever is your mercy, my dear Lord. Now, Haridas Thakur, what I did not mention was, as he was praying to the Lord, he said, my dear Lord, let this body fall down in front of you right now. Let me hold your lotus feet on my chest, see your beautiful face. The tongue of mine constantly chants your holy name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And in this way, by your mercy, let me give up my body. The next day when the Lord came with all of his devotees, Haridas was lying there. Lord told everyone, chant the holy names. Haridas Thakur took the dust of the lotus feet of all of his devotees and put it on his head. And then, Vakreshwar Pandit started dancing. The best of the dancers in Lord Chaitanya's troupe. Lord Chaitanya loved his dancing. He was dancing. Swarup Damodar Goswami was leading the other devotees in chanting the holy names. Lord Chaitanya himself was chanting. This glorious Sankirtan was going on. And then Lord Chaitanya with his mouth started glorifying the holy attributes of Haridas Thakur. This is Haridas. In Benapol, he was tested by that sinful person, Ramchandra Khan, who sent a prostitute to defile his character. Haridas Thakur was tolerant. He was merciful. He was fixed with determination in his devotional practice of chanting the holy names. Mind and intelligence fixed on that. He saved that prostitute, made her into the best of the Vaishnavis. She became the leader of the Vaishnav community therein in Benapol then. But he did not feel any sort of, he was not disturbed, and any envy for Ramchandra Khan. Thakur Haridas just left that place. Then he came to Fulia. There, at Adi Saptagram, in the Sabha of Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar, again he was challenged because for his knowledge that how the glorious, the holy name is the topmost. And Gopal Chakravarti, a knowledgeable Brahmana, he actually cursed him, saying, if you're wrong, your nose will fall off. Naak kat jayegi tumhari. And Haridas Thakur, without even feeling envious or without even feeling pain at the insults, he simply tolerated it. Just left that place. Went back to his cave in Fulia to chant. Ramchandra Khan got the result of that reaction, that severe reaction. His nose and his fingertips, which are like champak buds, they fell off due to leprosy, melted off. Then he was tested by Maya Devi herself at Fulia. And he converted her and gave her the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Then he was tested at the Shraddha Patra ceremony. He was beaten in 22 marketplaces. And all he did was pray to the Lord, please forgive them for they know not what they do. And then when they requested him, if you do not die, the Qazi will kill us. His executioners requested him. Haridas Thakur said, oh, so I will die. He was ready to give up his life to protect the long life of his executioners. Self-controlled, who is a friend to all other living entities. Then he came to Lord Jagannath's temple, and there he did not enter a temple but stayed away from it. Lord Chaitanya with his own mouth was glorifying the holy attributes of Thakur Haridas. And when the devotees heard all of that, they were amazed. They had so much of respect, appreciation and love for Haridas Thakur. All of them offered their obeisances to Haridas Thakur and took the dust of his lotus feet on their head. And then, in that Sankirtan, Thakur Haridas took the lotus feet of the Lord on his heart, looked at his beautiful face like bumblebees watching the lotus face of his of the Lord's face, and chanting the holy names, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he gave up his body. So this is the life of Thakur Haridas, who embodies what the Lord is saying here. Adveshta sarvabhutanam maitri karuna evacha. Such qualities make the devotee very dear to the Lord. And for such a dear devotee of the Lord is ready to satisfy the desire of the devotee, even if it means the Lord feels unhappiness in his absence. That is the glory of the Lord's devotees, and that is the glory of devotional service mentioned in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Anant Koti Vaishnav Bhakt Brind ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare.